Friday, August the 2nd, 2024. Welcome back, everybody, to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. Preseason sort of kind of kicked off last night. Hall of Fame game. There's a lot of scoring at first, and then just awful weather, and the game actually got called. So, interesting start to the NFL season. We are here on the podcast today, ending the week, breaking down the running back tiers. We did quarterbacks earlier in the week. Heath Cummings from CBS Fantasy joined me on yesterday's podcast to talk about the wide receivers. So we will transition to the backfields today after going over some news around the NFL. Of course, to be updated with everything, check out FTNFantasy.com. We have a ton going on between the FTN Almanac led by Aaron Schatz and company. Then you have Jeff Rycliffe's Game Plan Fantasy Draft Guide, which is always being updated. Articles every single day on redraft, dynasty, best ball, you name it, preseason DFS. That's going to be rolling in now that we have preseason starting. And then, of course, the rankings, the projections, the tools, and one of my personal favorites, the revamped FTN Fantasy Advanced Stats Hub, which I have just been looking at every single day. Anything you can think of is there. You want to find out. I tweeted something yesterday. I was looking at Stephon Diggs' metrics on both go and post routes last season because there's been a lot of talk about how he hasn't been quite the same on the vertical routes, and it was true. I mean, last year he had 27 targets off both go and post routes, just 7 catches on those targets. He was like 50th in yards per out run. 0.4 EPA per target. He was bad. Stuff like that is available at the FTN Fantasy Advanced Stats Hub on top of so much more for wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, defenses, schemes, pre-snap motion, splits, temperature for players in certain games, shell coverages, yards before contact. Everything you can think of is there at FTNFantasy.com. The Advanced Stats Hub is awesome. Let's get to it, though, with some news around the NFL. We got a lot of players dealing with injuries right now. Geno Smith dealing with multiple injuries, but ESPN's Adam Schefter reported this morning, actually, that nothing significant has been revealed, and he will not miss any time, apparently, so that's great news. Not so much for Justin Herbert, and my goodness, every single day I open up Twitter, and somebody on the Chargers is hurt. We've seen Bosa. I think I saw Bosa left practice. Obviously, the running backs have been banged up. Gus Edwards had offseason surgery. Dobbins is trying to work his way back. Now, Justin Herbert, he is going to be week to week right now, missing some time with plantar fascia, which is not fun. Definitely can affect him. You know, I'm obviously not an expert with injuries or anything like that, but something that could definitely affect him in season. I don't think he's in any jeopardy of missing the season or the start of the season, but he's going to miss some time, which isn't great for the receivers when you have a brand new receiving core almost outside of Josh Palmer and I guess Quentin Johnson, but like Chark, Ladd McConkey, two new receivers who have been operating in 3 wide receiver sets, now going to lose some reps with the starting quarterback. Then I even saw Ladd McConkey, like Jim Harbaugh said yesterday, like a couple minutes before the Hall of Fame game started, I saw on Twitter that Ladd McConkey is now, quote-unquote, dealing with something. So the Chargers are just perpetually the most banged-up team in the league. Hopefully Herbert can, you know, hopefully this isn't something that really affects him over the course of the season, but he probably will be ready for week one, but definitely something to keep an eye on. Josh Jacobs with a groin hasn't been practicing, so more reps for Marshawn Lloyd, who has been impressing in camp. And then DeAndre Hopkins, this is probably the most significant news. He's dealing with a knee strain. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, which puts him in jeopardy of missing week one against the Bears. A 31-year-old wide receiver, 32-year-old wide receiver with this injury in camp. Definitely not what you like to see. Some of his metrics were down last season in terms of yards per target. But overall, like yards per out run, he was still pretty good. Had over 1,000 yards, 75 catches last year, but more reps now for Treylon Burks, who, man, like I kind of wish they would trade him because Treylon Burks was an interesting prospect because he was somebody that was getting a lot of scheme touches in college. And it was the question was, like, can he actually win on the outside and win when he's being covered against man and press coverage? Or does he have to be schemed free releases and scheme touches? And you look at what he's done when he's been on the field at the NFL level. He's done nothing to prove that he isn't talented and isn't good. Like, his metrics have been pretty good when he's been on the field. And then he's just dealt with concussion and LCL injuries that have limited his playing time. And then they obviously trade for Hopkins last season, or sign Hopkins last season. And then this season it's Calvin Ridley. They bring in Tyler Boyd, who's obviously familiar with Brian Callahan's system. So I don't think it's going to be anything to where Burks is somebody we really, especially if Hopkins doesn't miss any time or only misses 1 week. But Calvin Ridley, I mean, Brian Callahan said right when they signed him that they envision using Ridley similarly to how the Bengals used Jamar Chase. So that might be evident right away if Hopkins misses 1-2 weeks of the season. This team is going to be throwing the ball more than they have in years. So definitely moves Hopkins down the rankings a little bit, pushes Ridley up a little bit. Not really moving Boyd or Burks, but just players to keep an eye on now as we lead into the start of the preseason. Yaya Diaby for Tampa Bay. He's going to miss some time with a high ankle sprain. I believe he was carted off. So, like, the fact that he is, you know, he's also kind of in that same timetable as DeAndre Hopkins, where it's like 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe he plays week one, but if he misses time, it'll probably be a week, maybe two. But you don't love that. He was, you know, one of their best rookies last season, really helped their defense a lot. So hopefully he doesn't miss too much time. Outside of that, it's really a lot more of the kind of coaches talking up players. I saw Sean Payton was talking up almost everybody in that backfield yesterday. He said Javonte Williams looks great. He said Julio McLaughlin looks great. So tough to take too much away from that. The Rams offensive line is definitely beat up. Jonah Jackson is expected to miss the preseason. So, you know, the Rams signed him this offseason, 3 years, $51 million. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on because that offensive line was really good in terms of run blocking last season, but they're a little bit banged up right now. Yeah, that'll just about do it for the news. So let's do it. Let's get into the running back tiers for 2024. Starting at the top, no surprises here. Tier 1, Christian McCaffrey leads the way. 24.5 fantasy points per game last season. Best player in fantasy. I don't think I have to go in depth about how good Christian McCaffrey is, but it's fun. Let's do it anyway. I mean, over 3 more fantasy points per game than the next closest player last season. His worst fantasy finish all year long was running back 21. He was a top 12 running back in 13 of 16 games. His average fantasy finish was RB6. McCaffrey made his debut with the 49ers in week 7 of 2022. Since then, he's averaging 23.2 PPR points, 5.5 targets per game. Last year, led the NFL in snap share, route participation. He's the best. But also in this tier, Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson. Slow start last season coming off the ACL, but from week 5 on, Breece Hall became the obvious, you know, lead player in this backfield. From then on, 65% snap share, 67% of the team rushing attempts, 19.5% target share during that stretch was easily the highest rate at the position. The pass game usage was just insane. He was targeted on 27% of his routes. Like, we know the Jets without Rodgers, the quarterbacks were not able or willing to take shots on the field, so we saw Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall just dominate the usage in this offense. 40.5% of Breece Hall's rushing yards came off breakaway runs, which are 15-plus yards. Second highest rate in football. He was stuffed or hit in the backfield on like 23 to 24% of his carries, but the Jets did upgrade the offensive line this offseason. You know, they bring in Tyron Smith. They signed some guys. So Hall is easily, especially if Rodgers is there, to give this team that's been like 30th and 26th in red zone scoring attempts per game, giving Breece Hall more scoring opportunities. Yeah, he absolutely, if Rodgers is good to go for the full season, he can definitely contend with Christian McCaffrey. And I think Bijan can too. The usage last year, we don't have to get into it. It was disgusting. Like, you draft him in the top 10. He averages just 12 and a half carries per game. And the short yardage usage was laughable. Two total goal line carries last year. He had just 18% of Atlanta's carries from inside the 5-yard line. Luckily, he made up for it with great receiving usage. He was third among running backs in targets with 86. You have to think in Zach Robinson's offense, he's going to play a much larger role. Raheem Morris has talked about how they want to give him the football as much as possible. So, and then the eye test when you watched him, he's just looked amazing. So, tier two, this is where I have Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, James Cook, and Kyren Williams is also in this tier. I am the highest on James Cook at FTN. I have him as my 7th running back. He's RB7 in both formats for me. Easily the highest on him. I talked about him on this podcast plenty. If you really want any of my thoughts on him, there's articles I've written. There's a Fantasy Crossroads article with him and Rashad White where I go really in-depth on James Cook and the usage change that he had in the second half of last season. But I think he can catch 55 to 60 passes. He's been efficient at running the football. His target share with Steph off the field last year was up by over 4%. Josh Allen's checkdown rate went up by almost 3% in Joe Brady's offense. And the Bills were a top 6 team in neutral script rush rate once Joe Brady took over. I understand he's not going to score 12 to 15 touchdowns, but I think he can be really, really good. So he's at the bottom of this tier, or the middle of this tier, I guess, but I think he belongs here for me at least. But the obvious guys at the top, Gibbs, Barkley, Taylor. I mean, obviously Gibbs was amazing last season despite splitting time with Montgomery. The goal line usage favored Montgomery, but it went a little bit more towards Gibbs down the stretch of the season. They're talking about using him more in the passing game and overall just using him more. Elite offensive line. You have to love the upside, especially in full PPR leagues. Saquon obviously gets this massive upgrade with the offensive line going from the Giants to the Eagles. Last year, according to FTN data, Barkley was contacted at or behind line of scrimmage on 46.6% of his carries. It's one of the highest rates among qualified players at the position. He averaged just 1.34 yards before contact per attempt, while 23% of the Giants' rushing attempts were stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage, second highest rate in the NFL. Then you look at what DeAndre Swift did last year behind the Eagles' offensive line. 2.5 yards before contact per attempt. He was hit behind line of scrimmage on just 17% of his carries, which was one of the 10 best rates in the NFL. And the Eagles were the second best team in terms of not allowing their running backs to be stuffed behind line of scrimmage. So Barkley's still an amazing player. The tush push will be a thing, obviously, to the same extent without Kelce. Who knows? But that's still going to be part of their offense. I think we'd be crazy to not believe that. I also think Barkley's just going to be better at converting than DeAndre Swift was. Like, Swift got stopped at the one like 6 times last year. I think Barkley finishes more of those runs. And like, he's been like the Giants offense since he's been there, like at best, has been like league average in terms of scoring. Eagles will be much better than league average. Jonathan Taylor, I also love still. He's just really good. A couple years removed from him being the best running back in fantasy. Has dealt with some injuries the past couple seasons, but there is nobody to take touches away from him. It's an offense I love that plays at a really fast pace. Maybe Richardson, you know, maybe he takes some rushing touchdowns away at the goal line, but I think the efficiency is going to be awesome from Jonathan Taylor. I think he could easily lead the NFL in rushing yards this season. Let's go to my third tier where I have Travis Etienne, Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs. This tier for me is, there's a couple players that could be top 5 and I wouldn't be surprised. Derrick Henry, Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco, man, like, I think I should move him up, honestly. he's just been so good. And like without McKinnon last season, we saw more usage in the passing game. He's not there. They don't really have anybody that says, okay, you have to play this player on third downs over Pacheco. The offense is going to be even better than last season. Elite offensive line. Pacheco definitely has top five upside. He averaged 15.5 fantasy points per game last year. Rashad White, the usage is really what you're looking for here. The efficiency hasn't been there. Is Bucky Irving going to come in and take meaningful touches away from him? I don't think so. So it's really just the usage for him. But I also don't think it's going anywhere. ETN, I fell for Tank Bigsby last offseason. He was just one of the worst players in the NFL last season. Simply put. Anytime he got an opportunity, whether it was in the passing game, special teams, anything, like, he was bad. Had a couple drops that led to awful interceptions. Wasn't good on special teams. Wasn't good running the football. ETN's workload down the stretch did fall off. Like, at the start of the season, it was like McCaffrey, ETN, Ken Walker. But now I'm like doing a complete 180. I don't think anybody in that backfield should take touches away from ETN. So, and then Derrick Henry, I think there's just so much upside. I understand he's 30. I understand there was a report yesterday that says the Ravens view Justice Hill as a starter as well, and it could be like a bit of a committee. I just don't buy that. Like, I just simply don't buy that at all. And Justice Hill has kind of been a fine third down player. Comes in because the Ravens have had so many injuries to the backfield. And yeah, like, he's going to play more on third downs than Derrick Henry. That's pretty much a lock. But for me, Derrick Henry's like tackle breaking metrics and everything were still good last season. He didn't show a lot of signs of falling off. And the fit is so good with this power run scheme, with the gravity Lamar Jackson will have on defenses. Like, the efficiency and the yards before contact should be elite for Henry. Last year in Tennessee, with that awful offensive line and teams just stacking the box against him, he averaged 1.62 yards before contact per attempt. Just 454 of his 1,167 yards came before contact. So just 39% of his yards came before contact. And he was hit in the backfield on 27% of his carries. It's not going to be the same in Baltimore. And the touchdown upside is unbelievable. Again, we just saw Gus Edwards last season in the same Baltimore offense lead the NFL with 19 carries from inside the five. He converted them into 12 touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson does not see the design carries inside the five and at the goal line that guys like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts see. Over the past two seasons, he has just 9 carries from inside the 5-yard line. So, outside of McCaffrey, I really don't think anybody has a better chance of leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns than Derrick Henry. It's just kind of simple as that for me. This next tier is led by Devon Achane, Ken Walker, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara. And I've been debating if anybody else belongs in this tier. Do I want to put Aaron Jones here, who Minnesota's been talking up a lot? I think I'll put Aaron Jones in this tier. So Achane, which this could be insanely low for Achane. I am admittedly a little bit lower on Achane. Just because I just don't envision him getting, and again, he probably is like one of those players that only needs 12 to 13 touches per game to be a top 7 running back. So Achane, Kamara, Ken Walker, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones. Achane, obviously 7.7 yards per touch, highest breakaway run rate in the NFL. What if he also gets some more goal line work? Like, it all went to Mostert last year, who had like 21 touchdowns. But if some of that starts to go to Achane, yeah, he, like, obviously the fit with the offense is insane. In full PPR leagues, Alvin Kamara, despite the drop in efficiency rushing the football, I mean, he's still going to be as involved as anybody at the position in terms of catching passes. Last season, Derek Carr had the highest checkdown rate in the NFL at 20.7%. easily the highest in the NFL, not even close. That led to Kamara averaging almost 18 fantasy points per game, 5.8 receptions, 6.7 targets per game, and Kamara was targeted on 32% of his routes. And like, going into the season, I've been kind of the belief that Kendra Miller is going to play a role. They want him to see more carries, but Dennis Allen, clearly not a fan of Miller's inability to stay healthy, so I don't even know if that's going to be the case. And, Ryan Ramczyk out. The offensive line's bad. Like, there's definitely some bad elements to the Saints for Alvin Kamara, but Derek Carr under pressure is bad. But Derek Carr under pressure is checking it down more than any quarterback in the NFL. So Kamara, I mean, top three favorite to lead the position in catches once again. And then I really like Joe Mixon. Like, if I go wide receiver heavy the first couple rounds, and I'm there like round four, round five, and I need to address the running back position, I'm definitely looking at Joe Mixon. Like, it's a similar it's a completely different offense. Bengals, spread formation, shotgun. Texans, they'll be a little bit more spread out probably this year with Stephon Diggs coming in, but they've been a team with Bobby Slowick that wants to go under center, run the football on early downs. We saw last season Devin Singletary, who I think is just as good as Joe Mixon as a pure, player running the football. But if you think Mixon's better, then this should only enhance your reasoning to like Joe Mixon, because Damian Pierce disappointed last season, massive bust, didn't fit the scheme. And Devin Singletary took over as the lead player in that backfield starting in week 9. From then on, Singletary had a 69% snap share. He handled just over 68% of the rushing attempts, and he averaged 19 touches, 13.5 PPR points per game. He was the RB13 in fantasy from week 9 on. I mean, that might be Mixon's floor, and Mixon is definitely a better pass catcher than Devin Singletary. So I like Mixon quite a bit. The next tier for me features players like James Conner, David Montgomery, Ramondre Stevenson. The Tennessee running backs are in this tier for me. Jonathan Brooks, Zamir White. This is a pretty loaded tier. Zamir White, the Pittsburgh running backs, and Raheem Mostert. And I believe I said DeAndre Swift. So a lot of players in this tier. This is where you start to get towards almost where the zero RB range is. Some interesting backfields here. Like, you have Pittsburgh, you have Tennessee. I am just going to probably take whoever goes later if I'm targeting those players. And right now it appears to be Warren and Spears respectively. I think there's definitely reasons to like both Pittsburgh running backs. Like, we know Jalen Warren's been unbelievably efficient. We know he took, like, Harris the last couple seasons has lost his third down role. That's gone exclusively to Jalen Warren. But Arthur Smith coming in, like, the Falcons targeted the running back position, like, at a top five rate last season. They ran the ball at one of the highest rates. Like, they were second in, I believe they're second in neutral script rush rate. And they still ran the ball, like, 42% of the time when they were trailing by 8-plus points. That was the second highest rate in the NFL, too. So, especially with the defense being as good as it is, this team's going to be running the ball a ton. So, Harris is getting the goal line work, at least we think, but he has been the past couple seasons. Warren should be the guy in third down and getting that, 10 to 12 touch volume. But I think there's cases to be made for both players. I just lean whoever's going later. Sometimes it can be Warren going earlier. And then Tennessee, I talk about Tajay Spears a lot. He's one of my favorite players to draft right now. I think situations where he's going like a full round after Pollard, I'll just take Spears, because they've talked many times about how they view this backfield as a 1A, 1B situation. Spears was obviously incredibly efficient last year. And like, I know Derrick Henry at any point in his career has not been a third down player, somebody that's catching a lot of passes and playing like 70%+ of the third downs. But it's still at least a little bit impressive that Spears just completely took him off the field as a rookie on those situations. And he was efficient. Like, 5.5 yards per touch, sixth best among running backs. 5% juke rate according to FTN data, was fourth best at the position with at least 50 rushing attempts. 13% of his carries went for 10 plus yards. He was top 10 in avoided tackle rate and yards before contact per attempt. And then he was top 12 at the position in targets, receptions, receiving yards. He was 7th in target share, 11th in yards per out run. He played 94% of the snaps on long down distances, 81% in the 2-minute drill. Pollard can definitely do a little bit more of that pass game stuff than Henry, but I think Spears is staying in that same, maybe not quite to 90-80%, but I still think he's the third down, 2-minute drill running back on a team that's going to be throwing the ball more, and I think he's going to average more carries per game because it's not going to be a situation where the Titans are running the football, Derrick Henry's in the game. They're throwing the football, Spears is in the game. So I like Spears quite a bit in this tier. And it's not even that I'm opposed to drafting Pollard. It's just why I don't really plan on drafting both, you know, in consecutive rounds. So why not just wait and get one of the two players that I like later? Zamir White, we saw the volume last season in the games Jacobs was out. It was like well over 22 touches per game. This team wants to run the football and play defense. We saw that in the second half with Antonio Pierce as the head coach. I don't expect a very different offensive philosophy, especially with the uncertainty of at the quarterback position. The only question I have is, like, is he going to play the third downs? Will it be Dylan Labe? Will it be somebody else? That's really the only question I have with Zamir White. But the volume should be there for him. Ramondre, definitely warming up to him after the contract extension. I was, in the offseason earlier, kind of excited about Antonio Gibson because of the fit with the outside zone. And Stevenson doesn't have a lot of experience with Alex Van Pelt's zone system, but he's excited about it. And, like, we're talking about, yeah, who the hell are the wide receivers in this offense? Like, is it going to be Jalen Polk? Will it be Javon Baker? Will it be DeMario Douglas? Like, maybe it's just Ramondre Stevenson catching a ton of passes. Maybe it's that simple. I hope he's playing a lot of passing downs over Gibson because that could really hurt him, especially on a team that's not favored to win any games, I believe, at this point of the season. So if they're trailing a lot. But the other thing that helps him too, and I mentioned this before when talking about Drake May and the quarterbacks, is the Patriots defense, despite being in just the worst situations because of their offense last season and how bad their offense was last year, they still held their own. They are a top 5-6 defense in the NFL. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of games where they're just down 30-6, you know, 27-13, 27-10, and all of a sudden all bets are off. And that can be fine with me if Stevenson is the 2-minute drill player and the guy's playing on third downs. But if he's not, I think the Patriots defense can be good enough to where they're not getting absolutely blown out and Stevenson can't get carries. Jonathan Brooks, I'm also, I believe, the highest at FTN on him. I understand the start of the season is probably going to be slow. I also just don't think, they're done with Miles Sanders, clearly. Chuba Hubbard will have a role to start the year. But week 4, week 5, we're going to see Jonathan Brooks take over, in my opinion. He is probably going to be used once he's full go. I envision him being used almost identically to how Rashad White was used, especially in the passing game. And that's why I have him so high. On top of the fact that in college, such a natural pass catching running back out of the backfield, really soft hands, good contact balance. Just think he's a really good player. And that talent will win out by week 5, week 6 at the latest for me. This next tier, we have Brian Robinson Jr., Javonte Williams, Zach Moss, Chase Brown, Devin Singletary, Trey Benson. It's a ton of players. Benson, Chubb, Zach Charbonnet. There's a lot of guys here. This is where I start to get to kind of like zero RB, right? Singletary, I think, like always, is overlooked. Last time he was with Brian Daboll, he had like 230, 240 touches. And that was with an offense that had way more talent, right, in Buffalo. The concern is the offense is bad. The offensive line is bad. I know there's hype around Tyrann Tracy. There's actually a clip from training camp of Tracy had a run, but it was Singletary and Tracy in the backfield together, which was kind of interesting. Tracy is probably, I don't want to say probably, he's a better receiving option than Singletary. It's not been Singletary's strength throughout his career. But, you know, Tracy's still relatively new at the position. I don't think he's close to Singletary as a running back. So, if you're giving me 15, 18 touches per game from Singletary, it's not sexy, but it's going to get the job done, especially because he's been very quietly one of the more efficient players at the position for the last 5 years. Nobody wants to talk about it, but elusive rating, all that stuff, he's been great. Obviously, Chubb would be in like the second tier if he were healthy. We just don't know what's going to happen. Like, he's probably going to miss the start of the season. And then how long will it take, if it happens, for him to get back to the full workload? He's definitely not playing third downs. Like, it sucks because this time last season, he was my favorite player, one of my favorite players of the draft. I wanted him in every draft. But I just hope he bounces back because he's one of the best players in the league when healthy. Brian Robinson, he is going to be the 1A. Probably going to lead this backfield in touches. I will say, though, I was at Washington's camp on Wednesday. I'm still not, like, incredibly excited to draft him. But Austin Eckler looked pretty explosive. There was a nice run he had in practice with a nice jump cut, and it froze the defense, and the crowd was definitely into that play. Turns out being fully healthy and not having a high ankle sprain helps you be more effective and more explosive. So that's definitely something I'm looking at, but Robinson, quietly really efficient as a pass catcher last season. Cliff Kingsbury's fast-paced offense will help this entire backfield in terms of volume and you know, plays. So fine with him. And then Javonte Williams, the rumors of his demise were greatly exaggerated. Javonte Williams, is he going to make the team? Is he competing with Samaje Perine for a job? And then all of a sudden, he's taking all the first team reps in practice. So, yeah, like I tweeted a couple days ago about just the Broncos backfield as a whole last season and why we should, whether it's Javonte, Estime late, Jaleel McLaughlin late, like we want to have interest in this backfield for fantasy in some capacity because Sean Payton's backfields have been as fantasy friendly as it gets. You look at last season, both Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine were top 15 among running backs in target share at 12.2 and 11.8% respectively. Denver targeted the position 31.5% of the time, was one of the highest rates in the NFL. Samaje Perine in particular, and this is one of the awesome stats of many that you can find on the Stats Hub, you can sort it by two-minute drill. Samaje Perine comfortably led all running backs with 25 receptions in the two-minute drill. So if that role goes to whether it's Williams or McLaughlin, you want that role because it's a bad football team. We expect to be chasing points and playing the two-minute drill a lot. Perine had more catches than any player in the league in the two-minute drill with 25. And then Jaleel McLaughlin last year in a limited role as an undrafted rookie, eighth among running backs in screen receptions with 18. We know that this team had one of the highest screen dropback rates in the NFL. You want exposure in some capacity to this backfield. So just leave it at that. Benson, it seems like they're still really high on James Conner being the full workhorse. So it might be Benson. Like I talked about Benson kind of being overdrafted a couple weeks ago. He goes earlier, but I think he should be drafted where guys like Charbonnet and Chase Brown and Jerome Ford and these guys and Blake Corum go. But he goes like ahead of them, like he has standalone value, and we don't know that yet. Charbonnet does have standalone value. He averaged like 8 to 9 touches per game with Ken Walker active last season. He played like 80% of the third downs. So for me, like they should easily be in the same tier. And in a lot of drafts and rankings, they aren't. I just think they absolutely should be. We'll get to a couple more running backs in a minute, but first, have to remind everybody about our friends over at Circa, once again, sponsoring the program this season. The largest pro football contest in Vegas, they have returned. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions are now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. There's two ways to win and absolutely zero rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. If you are in the Nevada area, obviously you can enter there, but you can also play from anywhere. To do that, visit circusports.com for all the details. Closing it out with a handful of more players at the position. Scrolling down a little bit more, you have the Chargers running backs. You have some of these backups, Marshawn Lloyd, Rico Dowdle, who might be the starter, might be Zeke. Tyler Algier, Ty Chandler, who I think is kind of interesting. Like, different offense, but like, we know Aaron Jones is kind of living that like 16 touch range and has rarely gotten like the 20 plus. So if that's the same kind of usage, like Chandler might have small standalone value, then a 30-year-old player and Aaron Jones coming off multiple hamstring issues, like all of a sudden Ty Chandler could be the every down player for an offense that I trust with a good play caller and Kevin O'Connell. So he's kind of interesting. Yeah, and then you're getting, you know, lower and lower to the players that have upside as late selections. You know, we're talking about Estime, Vidal, Ray Davis. I guess maybe Denerick Prince should be on this list because he's clearly been running as the second running back in Kansas City. Like, every single day, it's him behind Pacheco. So maybe we should start talking about him a little bit more. I did move Kendra Miller down to this range. I was a little bit higher on him at first, but moved him down a bit. Chuba Hubbard in this range, especially because, like, if you're really, really punting the position, he's probably going to give you, like, flex-worthy workload to start the season as they ease Jonathan Brooks in. I think that'll just about do it, though. So, again, for all of the rankings for myself and everybody at FTNFantasy.com. Check out the site. So much stuff. Just so much. Stats Hub. The Almanac. The Game Plan Draft Guide. Projections. Tools. So much. And also, everybody, you know, all the podcasts here at FTN Media. You know, Jeff Ratcliffe has brought back The Rant. He's been doing episodes daily. Jeremy Popolar is doing the FTN Dynasty podcast. Zach Graham doing the Fast Break NBA podcast with Mike Randall, which I will be on today, later on. Fantasy Baseball podcast. Vlad's been doing an amazing job. So much stuff. So much stuff. For every sport, everybody, can, everything you can think of, live at FTNFantasy.com. So this has been the tiers for the running back position for 2024. We'll be back next week for tight ends and some more fantasy football breakdowns. Again, three times a week at the very minimum. Now that we are in August, it is so exciting. So happy to be here. So happy to have football back in our lives. Thanks for listening. As always, my name is Adam. Have a great weekend. Talk to you guys next time here on the podcast. Till then, have a good one. Peace.